Today, April 11th, marks day two of Chad Daybell's trial. Now, yesterday, we saw the first witness, Ray Hermosillo, who's a detective, and he went through on the stand. We also saw opening statements. I did a recap video. Also, I did a live stream. You can check that out below. But today, it was a continuation with Ray Hermosillo, and he talked about both JJ and Tylee being found on the yard of Chad Daybell. When he first talked about JJ, he talked about the discovery, where it was on the farm or farmland of Chad Daybell's, and that JJ was found near a tree and a pond. But he talked about digging through the layers, the rock, the board to get to JJ, and that he was bound with duct tape. He also had a plastic bag over him. And he continued to elaborate on the duct tape around his ankles, his arms when they're folded from elbow to wrist, in his mouth, and talked about decomposition. When he talked about JJ, he talked about going to the morgue, putting a body bag, going to the morgue, and then coming back and then discovering Tylee in the pet cemetery. Now, as a side note, yesterday I was talking about the raspberry bushes that John was talking about. He kept bringing it up, and I was wondering, what the heck? Why are you bringing it up? But then I figured it out, or I think I did. I wouldn't be surprised if John is going to somehow link these raspberry bushes to the raccoons. Because remember, Chad did a raccoon text to Tammy telling that he had an interesting morning. He's going to burn limb debris by the fire pit, and that he buried a raccoon, but there was no raccoon ever found. So he continued on talking about Tylee and her charred remains. And there was a bonfire that was reported the day that Tylee was buried. And there was also, the neighbor had reported that there were bonfires in spring right before Chad Daybell was arrested. Now, as they went through talking about Tylee, it was absolutely horrific, and many people who followed the Lori Vallow Daybell trial knew about these details or have followed this case. But if you're new to this, then it is very disturbing. Tylee was found in the pet cemetery, and her remains were dismembered and burnt, and they were finding pieces of flesh, a part of a skull. There was a bucket that was also buried. Now, these detectives and evidence team would go sifting through and take turns, and it was estimated about 45 minutes to take turns and dig through this dirt to get to Tylee's remains. Now, as a juror who doesn't know much about this case, today would be very, very, very pivotal, and they had to see the pictures. Thankfully, they weren't shown to the public. I'm very grateful for that, but they were shown to these jurors who had to see JJ and Tylee, or what remained of Tylee. I thought about this from their perspective. They're probably in shock, right, just seeing the pictures. But also, maybe they haven't quite connected yet because they're so immersed in the pictures and what they're saying of how Tylee got there, what that meant. And from my experience talking to detectives, ex-detectives, they said it's very, very time-consuming and hard labor to dismember somebody. So it's interesting. They didn't get to that today, but they talked about that, and I couldn't help but think about it. And I thought, these jurors' lives will be forever changed. How can you not have compassion for what they're going through? We already know that the detectives are going through that. I mean, Detective Hermosillo still has a hard time, you can tell, on the stand, talking about this. They also talked about JJ and the last proof of life picture that was him wearing red pajamas, and that they found JJ with red pajamas on. The last picture that was his last proof of life was at Lori Vallow Daybell's apartment, and Melanie Gibb was there that weekend. So was David Warwick. So was Alex Cox. Alex left for a bit with JJ while they did a podcast. He came back with him and was said to have had him over his shoulder, and he was sleeping. And then the next day, Lori said that JJ was misbehaving, was acting like a zombie and climbing on the cupboards. And then there's no sign of JJ. And we know what happened after that. But one of the things that Detective Hermesio talked about was bruising. They said that JJ had bruising on his arms, his ankles, his chest. He had scratch marks, on the left side of his neck under duct tape. And he said there was also a blanket wrapped around him. And he said the amount of duct tape caught his attention. Now, one of the things that I've said before, but I want to bring it up again because it's important, that JJ had duct tape around his mouth from jawline to jawline, I think he said, or earline to earline. And you don't have to do that if someone's not alive, right? So, I mean, just think about that for a minute. It's completely heinous, and so is what happened to Tylee. Now, during this, when there was the exhibits being passed around to the jurors, and they had to see this, I hated the fact that Chad Daybell was able to listen to it and see these. And that's my opinion. I've had a strong opinion about this for a long time, especially because I believe that Chad, in my opinion, gets duper's delight. I think he, for the lack of a better term, gets off on it. So that's quite upsetting that he was in there. I mean, but it is his trial, right? But I can't help but think about that. They did touch on Charles Vallo a little bit and about Alex Cox and also Brandon Boudreau. There was a lot of sidebars today, like a crazy amount of sidebars as per usual. I guess it's nothing different, but there was, and there's some things going on that they did a timeline and that was being objected, but then they brought in the timeline, talked about Lori and Alex moving from September 1st to the 3rd. September 8th was the last proof of life of JJ. September 22nd was the last proof of life of Tylee. October 2nd was the attempted shooting of Brandon Boudreau. The 9th attempted shooting of Tammy, which John Pryor went on a tangent about the wording and verbiage of Detective Hermesio and saying it's a shooting when Tammy Daybell said it was a paintball gun. And it's funny though, because John was getting upset at the detective when he said, he talked about decomposition earlier about Tylee and JJ, and then would say, well, John said, well, object, like he's not an expert, he can't talk about that. So it's interesting because now he brings up that Tammy called it a paintball gun, but you can argue as well, well, Tammy respectfully wouldn't maybe know what a paintball, it looked like a paintball gun, but so does a gun with a suppressor on it as well. So what is it, right? That was interesting. That was part of the timeline about attempting shooting Tammy. And then October 19th, Tammy Daybell died. November 1st, the Jeep was, they got a call to go investigate the Jeep that was involved in the attempted shooting of Brandon Boudreau. They located that Jeep in Rexburg on the 4th of November. This is 2019. And then November 5th, Chad and Lori get married in Kauai. On the 26th was the welfare check on JJ. And then that's the same day that Alex and Chad were contacted. We talked about that yesterday. And then the 27th of November, they searched the apartments. Also talked about it in my previous video. And June 9th was the search warrant on the Daybell property. That's the same day that the kids were found. The 10th, the kids were taken to the coroner's. And the 11th was the autopsy. Then came the cross-examination. And it was borderline ridiculous, or maybe it was ridiculous, the amount that John Pryor kept saying, what's your role, to Detective Hermesio? And he kept saying it, but it was, I don't know, 4 or 5 minutes long for the same question. It went on and on about the body cam, about prosecution going and wanting charges. Like it was a cluster, you know, F word. We'll just put it that way. There was some talk about Google searches and Alex in particular, and Alex searching for yardage, and John pipes in about, well, that yardage wouldn't really match the driveway where Tammy had her attempted shooting, would it? And he mentioned something about Hannibal Lecter Google searches, and the detective didn't know what that was all about. And then there was a point where John said, well, you know, the Hannibal Lecter thing. He said on October 24th, which would be 5 days after Tammy was actually murdered, he said that there were Google searches on 15 facts of Silence of the Lambs you didn't know. So that was interesting. I don't remember that. Do you guys remember that? Let me know. They talked a little bit about the Knott's Berry Farm trip that Chad took, which was at the end of November, just after that search warrant was taking place at Lori's house. And Lori flew also to Los Angeles, and so did Chad. But notable, there wasn't that, to my knowledge, a public photos of Knott's Berry Farm with Lori in it, only with Chad and the family. But I did a video about Thanksgiving and I called it the Holiday Huddle. I'll have that below for you or at the end of this video so you can check that out. And there are little devious things that they were doing that weekend with the whole clan. That's Melanie Pulowski, Ian Pulowski, Alex Cox, Zulema Pastenes, and also Lori and Chad. And did that in a timeline, so you'll find that interesting. Rob Wood made a really excellent point. He actually asked the detective, so did Chad Daybell ever phone the authorities and was concerned that maybe children were buried on his property? No. Did Chad Daybell ever phone and say, you know, maybe somebody went after his wife? No. So he made some great points because obviously John is trying to say, you know, it was all Alex. This is Alex that did it, Lori that did it. You know, Chad Daybell wasn't involved in any of that. Alex was the one who was on the yard. So it's interesting, but at one point, Rob Wood said, but Alex is the brother-in-law, right? That's correct. I love that. That ties it in. As it should. I also did a video on who's who in the zoo. We were talking about it today in the live stream. So if you want to check that out, you can check that out below. I started that way when we first started it. So you get the main characters, but it's worth a look. So even though it feels like there wasn't a lot of information today, maybe it's because we know a lot about it, but it went shorter actually. It was off an hour early, but there was a lot of objections and the judge got actually a little bit annoyed, I want to say, at John Pryor, surprise, surprise, because John kept objecting. I'm sorry, the prosecution objected, and John would just keep talking. And the judge said, Mr. Pryor, you're going to have to give me a minute so I can rule on this. And he said this several times. It happened throughout the entire day. Lots of sidebars, a lot of objections, especially from John Pryor, and then he gets really heated. So check out the Thanksgiving video here, and then also check out my other videos below. Thank you so much for watching. We'll see you in the next video.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.